You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
We know that one of the best ways to preserve populations of large animals is to protect where they live. When the forests are cut down and the river valleys settle, the big animals are squeezed into smaller and smaller areas and numbers drop dramatically. But what of the big fish in the sea? It's much harder to count them or to see what's happening to their habitat. An innovative study by a graduate student at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography used historical photographs to measure the changes in size and species of trophy fish caught off the Florida Keys. Lauren McClanahan analyzed hundreds of photographs taken in Key West since 1956. And Lauren McClanahan joins me this morning from California to tell us some more about her study. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, good morning.
Now, where did you get all the photographs?
I found these photographs in the Monroe County Library, which is actually a public library in Key West. And they have a really fantastic collection of local documents and things that people have donated. And one of the people who donated documents was a local photographer who gave about 300 to 400 pictures that he took to the local library, and they were just hanging out there in the back room of the public library in Key West.
And what were you looking for in the photographs?
I was looking for changes in, basically changes in size over time. We know that a lot of changes happened in coral reef ecosystems, but we often can't measure it because we don't have data that goes back more than 10 or 15 years. And so these photos provided information that went back about 50 years, which is really fantastic. And so what I was looking for was changes in what the biggest fish are that people catch. And these are the fish that were displayed as trophies at the end of a day fishing. And so essentially I was looking at first, were there any changes in the size of the largest fish over time? And then second, were those changes associated with shifts in the species composition of these large fish?
And how did you know how big the fish were in the photograph?
Well, so these are pictures that probably most people have seen examples of, pictures of people standing with large trophies. And a lot of times, they look like big fish. They look like probably bigger fish than, you know, you could catch today, but there's not really a way of measuring them necessarily. And the great thing about these pictures was that they were all taken in the same place, in the Key West docks. And so essentially what happens is at the end of the day fishing, the mate or the captain will come and take the largest fish and hang them on a display board. And that same display board is still standing in Key West. So I went down and measured the height of that, and then basically just measured the height of the display board in the photo relative to the size of the fish hanging there.
So you could actually go to the same place and get your tape measure in a sense.
Exactly, yeah. So we went down there and measured the tape measure in real life and then had that information to measure the size of the fish that were hanging there 50 years ago.
Now, I understand you also went down and took your own photographs.
Yeah, so we went down to the same docks, and actually the interesting thing is the same companies are operating there that operated 50 years ago, different boats, but the same two or three companies, and so we went down and took pictures of the fish that they're catching now and hanging as trophies in the same spot.
So what did you find out? What had changed?
We found huge changes, as you might expect. We found changes of 50% in length of the largest fish that were caught on any particular day fishing, and when that's scaled up for weight, it's a decline of about 90% in the weight of the average fish that were caught.
And was there a change in the species that are caught now and the ones that were caught in the back in the day?
Yeah, that's I think a really important point, is that we didn't actually find changes in size within any particular species. So it's not a matter of the fish shrinking in any particular species. What we found is that there were big shifts in the types of fish that make up these large trophy fish. So historically, in the 1950s, there were lots of large groupers and sharks. And today, the big trophy fish are smaller snappers. And there are still some sharks caught, but they tend to be juveniles and very small compared to what was caught just a generation ago.
So the big fish don't seem to be out there anymore?
Yeah, big fish just don't seem to be out there anymore. And it's One, I think, important point is that some of these fish are so depleted that they're protected, and so this study wouldn't have picked up on the fish that are protected because they can't be caught anymore. But what I did is went back and excluded all of the fish that are now currently protected from the historical analysis, and found that even taking out these big fish that are protected, there's still huge changes in the size of the fish that are caught.
And what would the timing be within which those changes had taken place?
Big changes happened even before fisheries data began to be collected. So before the 1960s, we found changes, declines in the size and abundance of large sharks and groupers in particular.
And would the ecosystem off the Florida Keys have been quite pristine back in the 1950s?
Well, it was definitely more pristine than it is now, but fishing has been going on in Florida for hundreds of years. So this kind of longer time scale of 50 years is still a small snapshot of the way things were before people arrived. But I think definitely compared to today, it's a much more pristine state. But for example, in the 1920s and 1930s, there was a big shark fishery that happened in the Florida Keys. So this would have depleted the population of sharks prior to the 1950s.
What happens to an ecosystem when you lose the big fish like that?
Well, the big fish can be thought of as kind of stabilizing forces in the ecosystem. They have much longer generation times, and they tie up the biomass in themselves, and so they keep the ecosystem as a whole from fluctuating as much with respect to oceanographic conditions and environment. So basically the big fish can be thought of as just stabilizers in the ecosystem.
So the smaller fish then are much more vulnerable to collapse? Is that what you're saying?
The smaller fish have shorter generation times, and so their, for example, their recruitment is more affected by oceanographic conditions, temperature, or changes. And so if all that remains in an ecosystem is a small fish, it's much more likely to potentially collapse.
If we're thinking about things like changes in temperature brought about by global warming or just natural temperature changes then?
Even just natural temperature changes, even just fluctuations that are normal.
Now, you studied this particular small area off the Florida Keys. Do you think it's happening in other ecosystems around the U.S.?
Yeah, and around the world, I think. We know that coral reef ecosystems in particular are imperiled around the world, but even out in the open ocean, where we typically think of as kind of being beyond the reach of people, studies have shown, using lots of different kinds of data, that a lot of the big fish are just not there anymore, and that's basically because we've eaten them. It's a far-reaching problem, I think.
So I guess there haven't been studies in those areas, but I guess your study really backs up anecdotal evidence that people are reporting from other places.
It does, yeah. And people say these kinds of things and are kind of thought of as telling fish stories. You know, the fish used to be bigger, it used to be better, but in fact, when you look at it over time, it's the truth. Things did used to be better in terms of the fish that you could catch from marine environments, from here in Southern California to Canada to the East Coast of the U.S. It's a pretty far-reaching problem.
What do you think is really needed to help fish populations recover?
Well, I think one really useful tool that's being expanded is no-take marine protected areas. We do know in places, for example, in the Florida Keys, where they have protected some areas from fishing, the fish do start to come back relatively quickly. And so I think that, together with maintaining fisheries closures for fish that have been severely depleted over long time scales, are probably the two most important tools. But I think one important point is that it's not a problem that's just limited to recreational fishing. Recreational fishing does take a lot of fish, but it's all of us eating fish around the world that's driving this. So it's kind of something that's on all of our shoulders, I think.
So we don't want to point the finger too much at the recreational people, but we want to say, let's stop eating quite so much fish.
Yeah, perhaps.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for talking to me this morning.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Lauren McClanahan. She's a graduate student at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography.